Blog Talk Radio.
Todo el mundo, this is Sana Cori y Da Puk Toka. How are you? ¿Cómo está todos? Me llamo otra vez Sana Cori Behikebe. How you doing, everyone? Sana Cori here from New York City, Lenin and Napi Land. And you know what this is. This is Taino Radio. Radio Taino. I'd like to thank everyone for being here live. And also, the future listeners who are downloading this show, especially on the other side of the world, all the way from Russia, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, that's right, India, that's right, the original Indians, India, that's where Columbus thought he was. And then we got Finland, Norway, the Netherlands, we have also the United Kingdom, we have Ireland listening. That's right, we have Morocco, Nigeria, they're back. Yes, and we have South America, we have Chile, Colombia, we have Mexico, the great Aztec nation people, Mexica. Now we also have the Turtle Island, great nation of Canada, indigenous nations right there all the way. And we have also from Borinquen. We also have Quisqueya La Bella. That's right. We got Jamaica. Oh, man. We got so many people with us listening live or future, to the future. Muchas gracias a todos por recibir esta señal de Taino Radio. Muy bien. Today's topic will be about the creation story, the indigenous Caribbean. That's right. Creation stories. Or for many, are considered the sacred texts. That's right. But before I continue, let's talk, or I should say, let's listen to Areto by Juan Luis Guerra. I love him. I love him so much. Start it up, Juan. Muchas gracias, Juan Luis Guerra. That's right. I said this so many times. It's, you know, I know it's played out, man. I know I play it out, but you know what? I got to do it, man. Juan Luis Guerra, 1992, when people in the Caribbean were celebrating the 500 years of evangelization, the discovery of the Americas by Christopher Columbus and the Roman Catholic Church, Juan was creating an album called Areto, and he was being heavily criticized. But guess what? He's a true warrior. Thank you, Juan, wherever you are. Hey, check it out. Muchas gracias, Bomatum. Bendiciones, Bo Huatucan. There we go. Mabrica, bienvenidas. Welcome, everyone. And today's going to, man, I'm excited, man. Whenever I talk about the creation stories, I keep getting a lot of questions about the creation stories, and I keep harping on it that we need to talk as much as we can about the creation stories and the worldview of our ancestors, because we need to look back. We need to remember. We need to understand how our ancestors thought and what they their visions and how they saw the world. So we, here in the 21st century, you know, it's in our DNA. It's in our culture. We have to figure, we have to make a connection, a bridge between the past and the present, or there will be no future. So I'm going to invite folks, if you want to call in, at 515-602-9792, 515-602-9792. It's a little past 10:30 on Saturday, July 10th. Man, I just hope that everyone's out there listening. I'm just going to give a little brief intro of chapter one of the creation stories that allegedly was written by Ramon Pané, who was a lay friar, wasn't a priest or anything, but he was sanctioned by Christopher Columbus to, guess what? That's right, to write down everything he could learn from the caciques and from the leaders about the creation stories. Now, I said this many times, and I'm going to dedicate a show just about Juan Mateo. I know it's played out. I'm always talking about Juan Mateo. His Taino name was Guaticabana. Excuse me, Guaticabanu. I always forget the U. Guaticabanu. And he was the official translator of Ramon Pané. Unfortunately, he was killed by the other, maybe the warriors or the other caciques, but he was killed. History notes him as the first linguist. He learned Spanish. He learned how to communicate, how to write it, and so on. So when he died, or when he was killed, Ramon Pané had no clue what was going on. He knew Macoris, which was a local dialect from a local tribe in Quisqueya. He did not know the general classic Taino language. So, of course, he didn't know what was going on. He even wrote it. He gave us a clue. He says, I don't know what's first. I don't know what's last. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to the source, which is, it's called the Relación Acerca de los Antigüedades de los Indios. This was his work. We lost the Spanish text, but it was translated into the Italian. And it was a great scholar. His name was José Juan Arón, the great linguistic Spaniard. And he did an amazing job. Wrote an article in the book Taino, which was part of the exhibit back in 1998, called The Creation Myths of the Taino. He broke down the different cycles of the creation stories. But check it out. For now, the discussion will be chapter one in this Relación text. Just give me a second. Hold on. Anyone who's calling in, just give me a few minutes. I'm going to introduce chapter one. Take some notes, everyone. And we're going to continue future shows, go on to different chapters. There's a lot of chapters, but we got time. So according to Ramon Pané, a.k.a. Guaticabanu, they start out, well, he uses the word Española. You know, the conqueror, right? Or I said the bad, nasty word. The invader always changes the narrative, right? So they put their own words. But we know it as Quisqueya / Haiti. Has a province called Caunau, in which there is a mountain called Cauta that has two caves, one named Casibajagua and the other Amayauna. And from Casibajagua came most of the people who settled the island. Now, these people, when they were in the caves, did guard duty at night. They had assigned this one job to one called Makokael, he of the eyes that do not blink, who, because one day he was late in coming to the mouth of the cave, they said the sun carried off, and hence he was changed into a stone near the entry. They say that the others who had come fishing, who had gone fishing, was captured by the sun and changed into the trees called hobos. Okay, I just want to end right there. And this was a translation. Like I said, he decoded a lot of these old, you know, translation from the Spanish classics, high Middle Age Spanish to the Italian. So Adam, you know, he's a great guy. He's deceased now. He was professor at Yale. And yeah, we can, you know, let's break this down again. Galnao, that's a key word. And there, and that was the province, and there was a mountain called Cauta, and in Cauta there were two caves, Casibahagua and Amayauna. So right now we're talking about the beginnings of the Taino people, where we came from. And there was Casibahagua, please note that, and it seems like that's the cave that humanity came from. And Makokael, I guess he was the one that was watching, making sure the people came to the cave. Right now in the Caribbean caves, you can see the image of Makokae with those big eyes in the entrance of a cave. Now, for some reason, the sun, the way, would carry off certain individuals like Makokae. Also, there were some other folks who went fishing, and they were captured by the sun. And they would, and they would change into trees called the hobos trees. So that's chapter one. I'm gonna break this down, and I believe I know who that is. I just saw my studio there, and we got our the paranormal show has entered the equation here tonight, and we have, yes, I think I know who you are. Let me clip you on. Get ready. Set, go. Hey, brother, can you hear me?
I can definitely hear you.
There you go, man.
Hello?
There we go. Can you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Rene Perez.
What's that?
Rene Perez.
I can't hear you.
Rene Perez.
Miguel Perez.
No, Renee.
Oh, man, we got a bad line here. Can you repeat again, nice and slow?
Renee Perez.
Renee, you sound like you're a little slow. What's up, man? You're a little underwater.
Oh, no, nothing, man. Yeah.
There you go. That's
enough?
A Renee I know.
All right. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Excellent.
Yo, man, thanks for coming on. I know you know a lot about the creation stories, and we're kicking it off today, chapter one.
Oh, that's excellent, man. It's one of my favorite subjects.
Yeah. I know. And sadly, a lot of Tainos don't know about the creation stories.
No,
right?
a lot of the groups, they take it, you take what's written by Pane, and they take it very literally. And they believe everything what Pane is writing as literal. But when you read, I think a lot of them missed the part when you read Pane's book on the back of the book. Las Casas,
right,
says specifically, no one knew the language or the story, not even Pane nor himself. There was only one person he claims that actually knew the language. And I believe he goes by a last name of Gonzalez or something like that. But no one actually knew the language, not even proficiently. So the story, even Pane states that the people that he was getting the story from, the natives, they don't even know where the origin of the story comes from. But that each one of them say something differently. So
right.
the stories change, you know?
Well, Well, let me ask you. I know Anthony Arroyo Stevens, this is his theory, that Juan Mateo was the official translator for Ramon Pané when he visited all these villages in Quisqueya, Huatigabanu. He was killed by the other caciques or the warriors. So there's a reason why he was killed, but Antonio Arroyo Stevens, his theory is that it was actually his works because he knew Spanish. He was the first Taino to learn Spanish, how to write it, how to communicate. So it's really his text, but he was killed, so he wasn't able to finish it. And that's why Ramon Pané had no clue what he was looking at. That's the theory of Antonio Arroyo Stevens, the author of
Cave de Agua. Cave de Agua. I have it actually, and I have read his book.
Yeah, he's the author.
I'm not a fan of some of his works. He comes from more of a
right,
more from a Christian perspective, and that's okay. But I don't think that it's from Juan Mateo's. I don't think so. I think that it's because, even though it's from his translations, you can tell that it's still coming from a person who is translating from a Christian perspective. And why I say that is a great example is when Pané states the five names. Let's not say Atabe, or because Atabe is one of the names, but of this divine being.
Right.
One of them is Atabe, Wakar, and Yemao, right? Now, if you really look into the words that he has recorded in the book as Yermao, Yermao doesn't fit the native tongue. There's no such thing of Yermao, and it doesn't fit the lexicon. Now, Pané was a Catalan, right? So now, look into the Catalan dictionary. Did you know that Yermao in Catalan means brother? It comes from the Spanish hermano. You see? And it's
right.
the exact same spelling as what he has in his account. So there's a lot of Spanish, and there's some words that he has mispronounced because coming from the language to how they speak, the pronunciations are very different.
Well, here's the problem. Huatigabanu was killed, so he couldn't finish it. So Ramon Pané had to fill in the gaps. Just like the Bible, you know, there's different layers between different generations. So
him and Las Casas stole from each other, right? He stole things from
again?
Las Casas. Him and Las Casas, they were battling against each other, right? Actually, Las Casas even stayed there, pretty much calls him an idiot in a way, in the back of the text. He was stealing some of Las Casas' works. They were stealing each other's works.
Right.
But I don't agree that Juan Mateo's, it was from his work, because we don't really know that for sure. But it is a theory.
It is
a possibility, right?
It's definitely a theory. But he was killed. Why did they kill him, though?
They killed him because he was converted to, he was portrayed, because his own people killed him, because they felt like he was portraying his own people. They burnt him. That's why his last words was, Naboriadacha adios, Naboriadacha. That was his last words when he was getting burned.
Well, here's the thing. To be considered a betrayer, what did he do?
What did he do to
merit that?
Well, he was kind of fitting more to the Christian side. You know, while they're there killing his own people.
Right.
He's pretty much sticking with these people, you know. I can only imagine why they were killing his own people, saying that he's a betrayer.
A lot of that went on.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Well, a lot of that went on. There were 100 warriors fighting with the Spaniards in the beginning of the wars, you know, there were 100 warriors, they said, different regiments against the Taino rebels. So, or freedom fighters, I like to call them. There was a lot of that that went on. But why was he specifically killed? What was he doing with Ramon Fahin?
It's the same. I mean, if you feel right that you like if right. you let's say if you was him, right? Let's say that you're converting other natives to follow the religion. Let's say that you're telling them to follow Jesus Christ, follow these people, get the armor, dress different, talk different, learn Spanish. Doesn't that feel like you're sticking up for them instead of your own peoples? Right? I mean, I can only imagine these people are killing young kids because they're not finding gold, and he sees all of this, but he's not fighting back. He's not sticking up for them. You know, they're killing babies, but he's not sticking up for them. They're raping the women, and he's not sticking up for them. He's still with the Spanish side. So, of course, they were thinking some kind of betrayal, you know. And here's another thing that is to think about. But
check it out. Before you go on. Yeah. My theory with that is if it wasn't for, well, this is again, if you believe it was Juan Mateo, we wouldn't have these stories, no? Because Ramon Pané had no clue what he was. He didn't know the Taino language. He knew a basic Macorís. He needed help. He needed someone who learned the Spanish. But, oh, man, we can go on with this. But go ahead, finish your point.
Oh. No, and you're correct. I mean, listen, we have to give credit where credit is due, right? You know, you still have to give him some credit that he did record something, but he had a lot of discrepancies. There's a lot of errors to the story. One example is this, and this is just my opinion, you know. I don't believe the symbol of Atabe that we know as Atabe, the position, is actually Atabe. It is not recorded. It is not written. And it's only a speculation that the symbol that we see is Atabe. So. Okay. Because we don't really know if that I'm going to call it the petroglyph that we see is that image. Because when you go to Caguana and Utuado, you have many images that's very similar to Atabe, and especially in that position that is the image, well, the zoomorphic image of the leg position. There are many of them that's very similar to that.
Right.
The only reason that they think Atabe means birth mother or who is this goddess is because it looks like a birth mother, the way it's positioned itself. But I don't know how this term or how this came to be, that this image became to be known as Atabe. I never agree with that because it's never been recorded at all.
All right, you know what? Let's hold on that. I think that could be another great show on that Atabe. But hold on to that thought, okay? We're going to do a future show on that because there is a lot of confusion. A lot of people say the Supreme Creator is Yahya, then the Yokahu, then they say Atabe. A lot of confusion out there. But hold on to hold on to that.
Yeah, sure. Of course, yeah.
But let's go to chapter one, okay? Let's break down chapter one of the work. So obviously, you know, Bainé talks about Española. So we're in Quisqueya right now, right? Well, some people refer to it as ID, the original indigenous name, right? Man, you know, that's another subject, right? That's another
there's
show,
many
but,
terms. I can say, there's many words like this. You mean as in the name of the island, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the name of the island, that name was actually also recorded by the Kalinago people, ID.
ID.
So even the
Kalinago,
ID. Yeah, it has also been recorded. Like Borinquen was also recorded by the Kalinago people. In fact,
you know what? That's going to be in.
Huh?
Go ahead. No, that's going to be another show.
Say,
the names of the islands.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Yeah, that would be a great show, too. We could get into that, too. But I was just going to make it short, not to go into it like that, but that the males called Borinquen Aupao Moin. Opao Moin means island of the blood, because the word bo, like in Bohio, is a Kalinago word. It means a bow or ball. Ball, bamuing. So the females called it Borigal, where there's a speculation that the word Borigal was right. the modern term of Boricua or Boricua. But without rolling the R, right? So they it was Borigal. And that's actually recorded by the Kalinago from the female language.
Right. Which has their the females,
mm-hmm.
their lineage the is mm-hmm. from the Borinquen, right? From the
right. Well, not only Borinquen, but Arawakan. I would say Arawakan.
Arawakan, right.
Mm-hmm.
From the south, right?
Right. It's from right. Arawak, meaning, yeah, definitely. Yeah. They spoke both. They were bilingual.
Right.
But what I was
going
to say, now back to the creation story, though, because I know this is a topic about the creation story, right? It should be actually a great thing to bring up about Yokahu, right? Did you know that Yokahu is actually the same individual as in the Kalinago creation story called Loco? And you know Loco is also found in where? South America, where you get the term Locono, right? So...
Right.
In Puerto Rico, Loquillo Beach is, there's a story that the spirit of Loco or Luco or Yukio, sometimes the L and the Y are interchangeable, so sometimes they call it Yukio or Luquillo.
Right.
The spirit of Luquillo or right. Yukio protects the spirit, the forest of El Yunque, right? But
right.
Loquillo or Loco is the same individual. Yoko or Loco or as in Yokohu is the same person.
Now I learned that was a chief. There was a chief called Yukibo. He was a guerrilla chief, guerrilla warfare chief.
Yeah,
that's one thing,
but that is said, and this is from Jesse, I'm just quoting Jesse Waterfix here, that supposedly the spirit of Luquillo protects the Yungid forest.
Okay.
Now, the reason why that fits, because in the east side of the island was predominantly Kalinago. In fact, in the 1800s in the map, that side of the island was called Carib Mountain. And
okay.
I do strongly believe that at one point, and this is not only me, but other even scholars considered Puerto Rico a Carib island, a Carib island or Kalinago island.
Which one? What island?
Puerto Rico.
Okay. Well,
because of the towns, the names, and everything.
Well, I know in the Hapa groups, the majority of the Hapa group in Borinquen is A, which is Central American.
What is
Mexican.
Five? There's five.
C is
A, B, C, D, and egg. X is rare. You have A.
Right, but A is number one.
His number one is the oldest. It's also found in South America, which
right.
is a girl. She was frozen. They found her in Central America, too. She was frozen in the ice. You also have B. Polynesians have B. Some Asians have B. Some
right.
Mexicans have B. Mayans, right? You have C. So, yeah. I mean, you got them all over the island.
Right.
I'm B, you know?
I'm A. Number one, first place.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Mm-hmm.
but you know what? But you know what? Let's take a pause here. You know why?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. We confuse a lot of people who are listening. Let's stick to chapter one.
Sure.
Let's see. Well, you know, I mean, linguistically, you study from the Kalinago, right, or the Guarifuna? I forget what's your.
Well,
what
not all.
Learn.
I mean, Kalinago. It's just every language. Not only Kalinago. Garifuna is Kalinago. Can I say something just to clarify something? Garifuna comes from the female of the Kalinago. The males call themselves Kalinago.
Right.
The females call themselves Kaliponani, which
right.
you get the word Garifuna. Kaliponani means people of the Kasabe clan. Makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Because the female were Arawak, right? They were good in Arawak and they were good in cassava making.
Right.
They were the Tainos. They were, in fact, because I know you want to stick to chapter one, because there is a chapter, I think it's in Darrow in De Las Casas, but our people knew the names of the Kalinago people, and the Kalinago people knew our ethnic names. It wasn't Taino, it was something else. It's actually recorded in the French Chronicles. If
right.
people will read the French Chronicles.
Well,
we actually remember that story when, mm-hmm. when Columbus went to one of the islands and they said, we thought you guys was the Caniba or the Canima people. Remember that story?
Right.
But the cannibals, that's the word cannibal. Exactly. But what they meant was Kalina. It was the Kalina, because Kalina is the original name for the people, the Kalinago people in South America.
Okay. So
is the L is not is the original word is not what an L is, what an R is, that the French couldn't pronounce the R.
Mm-hmm.
So they replaced the R with an L. So it's Karina or Karinago. And that's where the word
right.
Garifuna comes from.
Mm. So let's mm-hmm. break these words down. Let's break these words
yep.
down. Ramon Panet, or whoever wrote this, is talking mm-hmm. about a province called Gaunau. Have you come across
Gaunau,
that word
yeah.
in Guarifuna or Kalinago?
Yeah.
Violet?
So, yes. So, yeah. So what he states that, like Gaunabo, mm-hmm. right, from the husband of Anakauna, right?
Right.
So Gaunabo, what according to that book by Origins of the Tainan, Lovin,
right.
When you look at the Kalinago word, Gaunabo or Gaunau, Gaunabo means, his name doesn't mean gold. His name actually means rain. It comes from the Kalinago word, Konobo. And that's where
right.
Kanabo or Konobo means. Konobo is rain in the language. So that's why there are speculations that Kanabo was a carrot.
Well, the people are listening. Cacique Kaunabo wasn't Taino. He was Kalinago, right?
Carrot. Yeah, he was Kalinago.
Yeah. Right. So there you go. So there's
yeah.
a connection there, Kaunau to Kanabo,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, Kaunau, yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, there were two mountains.
Kaunau. Yep.
Right. Well, Kaunau was the mountain. I'm sorry. The province was Kaunau, and there was a mountain
mm-hmm.
called Gauta. You know that word, Gauta?
Gauta. So that one I don't, but the reason is because there's certain words in there that's recorded that I'm still trying to break it down easily. I'm not trying to
right.
come, cause you have to be careful with some of the words that's recorded
yeah.
there.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's weird, you know, you have to really be careful.
Right.
The pronunciations are different.
Exactly. And it's, you know. The final editor was a Spaniard, the final editor. So, and then, you know, Juan.
Right.
Jose Juan Arón, the famous late Yale linguistic scholar,
right.
he also translated
all these
right? words.
Was he from Spain or something? Was he Spanish? I think he was from Spain,
right? Yeah,
he was
a Spaniard. Yeah, he was Spaniard.
Yeah.
So,
he was from Spain.
Yeah, so he translated a lot of these words too, but there were two caves, Casibahagua and Amayauna.
Mm-hmm.
What about those words, Casibahagua?
So Casiba means rock. So Ciba,
right.
as in Cibao, Ciba means rock. So
right.
it's a Casibahagua. Now Hagua is what? Is that little fruit that's dark? Right, that black fruit, the jagua. Remember that
mm-hmm.
in Puerto Rico, there's a jagua tree, right?
That's where you get the black pink.
Jagua, right? The black rocks, right?
Right.
Or a black cave, or the abyss. Something that's the abyss. It could be metamorphical, a metaphor.
Right? The center stone. That's
the
black.
Center stone. Right. It can be something that's from the abyss or from the essence of where they come from, the spirit world, the you know, as a metaphor, right? But you see what I'm saying to you? So the other cave, the other name, you get it, right? So what was the name of the other one? It was Kasiwa Hagwa. And what was the second one?
Amayauna. Amayauna.
Yeah. Yeah, that one I have not. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, A-M-A-Y-A-U-N-A, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, Amayauna. Yeah, that one still trying to break that one. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of it in there.
Yeah. A lot of clues, man. I know that, and then it says that Kasiwa Hagwa came, most of the people who settled the island. So right now we're getting into some origins here, some division, right? One from Kasiwa Hagwa.
The Kalinago people called them the ancient ones.
Mm.
The Kalinago people, they called them the ancient ones.
But who were the ancient ones? The one in Kasiwa Hagwa?
The Arawaks.
Okay, because there's two caves. But the majority, most of the people came from Kasiwa Hagwa. Who are these people?
Let me also say this too, because this is very important to say now. Now, because remember, we have to put this out there. What was recorded in the island of BR or ID may not be the same. Was the same as in Puerto Rico.
Well, that's the thing. That's another. That's,
you see what I'm saying?
That's another layer that's that we got to get into.
Exactly. So the stories that were, it could be very different creation stories. We're only going by what was recorded in Haiti. We don't even know what it was, you know.
Right.
It's very different. People only think that the stories are the same because the petroglyphs are very similar or some of the languages are similar. Mm-hmm. But we don't even know if the island of PR has the same creation story.
Right.
That's a very difficult thing to say.
But
you know.
But you think with the trading and the migration, the Borinquen, Quisqueya, you think these stories passed on through migration?
I think they passed on and changed because a story would not be the same after thousands of years.
Right.
I mean, it's not going to be the same exact oral tradition, right? Something is going to change. They're going to add to it, right? Think about it. You know, if you tell a story to your grandkids and your grandkids and your grandkids, he lived in Washington Heights. And then after that, he's from Manhattan. And after that, he's from, you know, it just changes. And they add to it a little bit,
right?
You know? So it would change over time.
Plus,
you know, there's different.
And wasn't it? Mm-hmm.
No,
and there were a lot of tribes too. There were a lot of tribes.
Yeah, there was a lot of tribes.
Different
mm-hmm.
dialects in Quisqueya too.
Way
the
different
came,
dialects.
Right? Well, I should
way
say when they came,
dialects.
When they invaded, there was a lot of dialects they encountered.
A lot of dialects. This is the one thing that is very important to also put this out there is that Taíno, the term itself, is a term that was created by an individual named Ras Finesse Constantine in 1836. He read the books of Pané and de las Casas, and he took a term or a story from what he read, probably from Dr. Chanca's account, and then he labeled us as this ethnic group called Taíno. And he said it that it means good people and et cetera, right?
Right.
But it doesn't mean good people, you know. In fact, the Kalinago has the same term in their language. Just like the word means Taíno, the Kalinago has the same word in their language.
And what does it mean?
Has the same. In Kalinago, Niteño means my people, my relatives.
It means what?
My people
and
my relatives.
Right.
and my relatives. Yeah, because the word Tecno, as in the kind of the way Tayana, the kind, if you look at the way Columbus spells it, he spells it as T-A-Y-N-O, right?
Right.
And you both know that the Y and the I are interchangeable in languages. They sound the same. They're very changeable.
Yeah,
Kalinago,
yeah.
The Kalinago has it as T-E-G-N-O. Same thing, right? And what's interesting, any word with an N-O or an N-O-N always pertains to people. And Arawak, and Arawak as well, especially in South America. So, te no means the people, my relatives, these are my friends. The same
right.
term in Garifuna is ni duhenu, right? Is ni taimu or ni teño. It means my people, my relatives. It never meant a ranking system. Never was.
No.
I mean, why would that be a ranking system?
Right. That's another show right there on this very word thing.
Yeah, that's
right?
Another show. Yeah, that's just another show, yeah.
Now, you know, we mentioned about the word Galnao.
I
failed to share that Jose Juan Aron, he referred to Galnao not as a province, but an imaginary place rich in gold or other metals or gems. And the ancestors considered this place a gift from the gods.
And it's funny,
that's
right?
What,
because Galnao is there's no I haven't found any words that it pertains to gold. It's just like
he worked as a place of gold, gems, metals.
Yeah, gems.
Know?
Yeah. So I'll give you a great example. You know, remember that story when they saw the person with the nose ring?
Right.
And he says, oh, Karakuri, right? And some people believe that's nose ring. That doesn't mean nose ring. You know what it means? Kuri means gold. So what it means is half moon gold.
Mm.
But because what does a nose ring look like? A half moon, a crescent moon.
Right.
So, well, actually, it means half moon. And the Kalinagos call it Kalakuri. It means gold. Or half moon gold.
Interesting.
That's what they have. It's in their language.
Mm-hmm.
It's half moon gold, Kalinago.
Well, Aron broke it down, you know, compared it to European mythologies. He compared it to Mount Olympus or the Magic Mountain. But, you know, he also mentioned about Casiba Hagua. The way he translated it is, like he said, Casiba or Gasimba, a hole in the ground. That's how he translated it, hole in the ground. Casiba and
a hole in the ground.
Gasimba.
Yeah.
And then
right?
Hagua. Huh? Was that?
Mm-hmm. Like an abyss, like a dark abyss, right?
Right.
The depth, from the depth of the essence. You know,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, the Hagua, what you were saying?
No, the Hagua, he agrees that it's an edible fruit, that the juice was used to paint the body black.
The skin, that's right.
Yeah.
That is very correct, which is mosquito repellent.
Yeah. There you go. And then he says, Amayuna, he translates that word into being worthless or without merit. Referring to the Ciguayos, Cibones, or the Guanajatabes. That was his theory. So,
yeah.
Wow.
I mean, he's good.
A lot of stuff.
I like some of his notes. Like some of his notes. Like when you look at his notes, they're pretty good. Like there are some of them he goes into it, and I go, oh, okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
And when you start researching, when you start back referencing his stuff, when you start looking at his stuff, like try to research the stuff that he's saying, you actually can see where he's getting it from, you know.
Right, right. Now my favorite character, Mako Kael, talks about Mako Kael, the one who was keeping watch at night in front of Kasibahawa.
Right, when the sun hit him, I think he turned into like a rock or something like that, right?
Well, yeah, for some reason, I guess he didn't come back in time, and the sun caught him.
Right.
The sun, wait,
right.
And it turned him into a stone.
That's correct.
So
yeah,
for some reason,
that
he
is
was punished.
Yeah, that's a hard one to find. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, there's many stories. The only story, this is my favorite story. I give you my favorite story.
Uh-huh.
My favorite story out of the whole creation story, and you can find this all over in South America, is Wayahona story. That's actually the most important story, one of the most important stories in the creation story.
Well, check it out. Hold on to that. Because it goes on to say, it happened that one named Wahayona told another, Kahubaba, to go out and get a plant called Digo, in which they clean their bodies when they wash themselves. And he went out before the dawn, and the sun caught up to him and changed him into a bird that sings in the morning like the nightingale, called Yahuba ba Yael. Wahayona, when he saw that the man he had sent to gather Digo did not return, decided to leave the cave called Kasibahawa. So go ahead, Wahayona, that's
part.
It.
Yeah, the Wahayona is the most important story. And that word Digo is not, it is, doesn't fit any Arawakan lexicon, nothing. You can find nothing there. Another thing is that he puts the word El in some of the languages. That is doesn't fit either. That seems very Semitic. Now, according
Which
to
one?
Jose Aram, it's very Semitic, the El, meaning it's Jewish.
What word?
El, like Baba El, Yaya El, the El at the end. Yeah. Well, according to...
The son of, right?
Especially Aram. Right, son of. And according to Jose Aram, I believe, in some Arawak, it is possible that they might have used an I-L instead of an E-L or L-I, which actually fits more of the Arawak, like Yaya Lee or Yaya Il. So Lee means like him or them or he in Arawak. You see what I'm saying? So you can change the E to an I, and you have the I-L, and that or L-I, that more fits the Arawak language. Yes, like Yayai or Lee, Yayali. You see what I'm saying? Meaning he or they. It's more of the, supposedly, I think it's more of the masculine term to it.
Well, that makes sense.
So that kind of makes sense. Yeah.
Because I know in the Dominican Republic, the Cibao Angels, they have that accent, right? The E.
Right.
The Cibao,
yeah. They have the E in there. Exactly. Exactly, yeah. That makes a lot of sense, actually. That makes sense. Yeah, they're actually correct on that. Yeah, they actually have the
I just thought about it because I know a lot of Sivainos, people make fun of them because they always put that E in there. But
right, they always put the E. Exactly.
Wow, that's interesting. So a lot of this stuff is being come to light. That's good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then the Spanish will probably change it to El, right? Because it's more fit. It fits their pronunciation, the way they speak in their language. You know. Now Wayahona is another story, right? Because Wayahona is the foundation. In South America, he is called Arawanili. You see, Arawanili, again, Lee.
Right.
His name is Arawanili, which is apparently where the word Arawak derives from.
Wow. Look at that.
And the woman that he encounters, like Juan Bonito, right? Because that's the woman he encounters.
Right.
In South America, she is called Orehu. She's a water spirit, or some suggest a serpent or a mermaid-like.
Mm.
Right? And she teaches him. She teaches Arawanili, or you want to say Wayahona, the mysteries of the maraca.
Mm. Can you repeat that again?
She teaches.
Can you repeat that again,
yeah,
so listeners so he could note this?
Yeah, sure. She teaches Wayahona, the
right.
Oarawaniri, the mysteries of the maracas. Now, why do I say that? Because exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And the story goes, according to South American tale, the Arawanili, his people kept getting sick. He was a shaman, supposedly. And he didn't know what to do, so he went and started looking for this. He encountered this water spirit. And she told
right.
him, go over here and go find this fruit and put two holes, but peel it. So while he makes these two holes and peels it, she takes it and makes a little circle. She kind of carves around and makes a little circle. Then the two holes
right.
is for the stick to go through, right, for the two sides. So she creates a maraca. Then the pebbles, she puts the two pebbles. The pebbles represents, the maraca is supposed to represent two things. The round, circular symbol represents the feminine aspect. The stick represents the masculine aspect. So it is the union between the
right.
energy between the male and the female. So
that's
the maraca
it.
Is the pebbles. Now, supposedly in some languages, the maraca means the head, or actually it represents Pleiades. That's what they call maraca in some languages. They call Pleiades maraca. And according to South American tales, they also say that Pleiades or the maraca represents the human head, if you look at how the maraca looks like. And the pebble that's inside the maraca represents the ideas. And then when you shake them, you manifest those ideas or the spirits when you heal,
mm-hmm.
when you're shaking, you know? So those
no,
are the
powerful.
Mysteries of the maraca. Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? I mean, I appreciate all of this, what you're sharing. But these are future shows, easy, like Maraca and all that. Wow.
Right, right.
Anyone
right,
who's listening,
right.
we got years worth of material here. You know?
Yeah, it's
so,
a lot. You can go to different avenues when you go to the creation story.
Yeah, man. Well, Mount Olympus, if you want to use the European term, is definitely Gaunau. Gaunau. And there was a mountain. I'm sorry, not Gaunau. There was Gauta, whatever Gauta it was.
Gauta, yeah, yeah.
Similar to Mount Olympus.
C-A-U. Yeah, he passed it as C-A-U-T-A,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, Gauta.
Yeah, Mount Olympus. And there was a division. There was a division between two different peoples, one from Kasiwahagua and the other one from Amayauna. Interesting. I don't know. I feel bad
yeah,
for those
weird.
From Ayamayuna. I like
yeah.
to be with them. I don't know. I want to chill with them, man.
Yeah.
They seem like they were picked on, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's funny, man, you know. It's like even the tales from Cuba, I'm trying to find those, you know. It's crazy. You know, I guess
yeah.
I can only imagine they get there, have a different tale, a different story, you know.
Right. So.
Yeah. You know,
I don't know, man.
The
we'll see. It's
creation. That Loco is born from nothing. He has no mother and he has no beginning. Can you believe that?
I like that because that sounds like the
right.
like the dough or Taoism.
Exactly. Exactly.
That there was nothing. There's nothing, right? And
yeah.
Can't truly.
And
grasp
he was born
it, right?
without a. He was born without a father. Does that sound familiar to you?
Wait, but that's Yokahu.
Yeah, exactly. That's Loco Kalinago, and the Kalinago Hiali. Is now can you do me a favor? There's a story near Wayahona, right? And Panay. If you look
Wayahona.
At that page that Jose Aaron, yep. If you look at in that page of Wayahona in Panay's book, and that book that you're reading, Jose Aaron actually references a Kalinago tale, and he's correct on that because I've read them. Hiali
yeah.
or Wayahona's real name, Hiona with an H, Hiona Hiali Wanin, that's his real name. He changed his name. Hiali in Kalinago is apparently the tales that he kind of made it with his sister or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran because he thought that, I think he raped her or something like that, the story goes. But anyways, She gives birth to a person named Hiali, and Hiali becomes the foundation of the Caribbean nation. And who is Hiali? Wow. He's Wayahona, who is becomes the foundation of the Caribbean nation. You see?
Well, these, you know, our ancestors, they all came from, you know, that migration from South America. So where did they get these?
Mm-hmm.
Where did they get this from? Was it from Venezuela, what we presently know as Venezuela, Colombia?
From different migrations. Yeah, different migrations, man. You know, they even claim that the stories are from oral tradition.
How about this? Ready?
The natives themselves. Yep. Go ahead.
All right. I'm going to give you some homework. Let's get together next week. Let's see what we can find in South America that's equal to this or inspired or close to what we just read, chapter one. Let's see if we can get some
mm-hmm.
similarities. What do you think?
Sure.
Let's see.
Definitely. That'd be awesome.
Like, what's the source? Because it seems like the Galinago and the Taino have you know, we use, lack of better words, we'll say Taino, but it seems like they share so much because at one point, I guess, they were, you know, these tribes were one, right?
Yeah.
It's safe to say that?
It up
at one time?
The stories are different, but the cultures are a little different, and they had to mix because of it. They had kids with each other. So.
Well, here's the key. The Orinoco River. Because they all took the Orinoco River, right, to get to the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
Orinoco River. I'm going to see what I can find from those tribes in the Orinoco River. And also the Lekono that are in Guyana, right? Guyana.
In Guyana. What, isn't
Guyanese,
Wainia?
Right?
Isn't there a river called Wainia?
Mm-hmm.
And it supposedly is what Wainia comes from in Puerto Rico?
Mm-hmm. Ah, right.
Next. Yeah.
Very similar right there.
Yeah, very similar. Yeah, it's supposedly derived from Wainia. From Wainia,
mm-hmm.
South America.
Well, you know what? We ran out of time. But
it's a pleasure.
Man, thank you for coming in and thank you, you know, and once again thank you for sharing and let's look up next week and let's see if you can find something.
Sure, brother.
I'm going to look at the Orinoco River tribe, see what they got that survived.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, that'd be great.
Let's see if we can find a link somewhere. And then eventually
we'll get
into Yaya, we'll get into Atabe.
Yep, definitely.
We'll get into all that. Guajayona, right? We'll get into that.
Yep.
We'll take it slowly. Well, here's the thing. I'm going to end the show with a song called one of my favorite Arawakan songs from Guyana. I Alone Am a Monkey Baby. That's cool. I like to be a monkey baby. All right, bro. Thanks a lot. I'll end the show
right,
with that
brother.
Song. Peace out, bro.
All right.
Later. Thank you, man. Later, man.
Fuji, 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 Fu